I don't know how to play, and I don't want to anyway. Need to delete this game and go back to another save. But my hard drive's fucked. Zero charisma, zero luck. I don't have any skills or the XP to fix my
Hello and welcome to Culture Terror. I am DK.
I am Lewis, and like a Jew advocating common sense Cossack whip control, this is happening.
It is indeed, yes. Today we are discussing the Alliance of Trannies and Faggots, otherwise known as the ATF.
Yes, and its massive and outsized cultural impact.
So where to begin, or where do you want to begin with the...
So we could discuss the new, there is new news, there is... some different stuff, but it is kind of a cultural touchstone, or it's a common thing in like right wing or even like American culture is a disdain for this, the kind of unique in all the three letter organizations that has never ever had a good reputation, like since the inception of it.
Yeah, I was just, I guess maybe that, I mean, normally I want to take, so I guess it was formed in, I'm looking at Wikipedia. The ATF was formerly part of the United States Department of the Treasury, having been formed in 1886 as the, quote, revenue laboratory within the Treasury Department's Bureau of Internal Revenue, and was made an independent agency in 1927, transferred to the Justice Department in 1930, briefly a division of the FBI in 1933, but I guess the history really starts with the Volstead Act, which is the first part of...
The NFA.
Well, the first... I think that was the first... No, that was the Prohibition... The Volstead Act was the National Prohibition Act.
They were a booze thing, basically only, and then the NFA gave them firearms because cops were outgunned.
Yes, that was the whole thing.
They were legitimately outgunned. The one time in history it's ever been true.
The Wikipedia article makes reference to the film, or I guess, well, the Untouchables, right, which is made into a film mm-hmm. with Sean Connery and everything. But yeah, that was, I guess the 1930s was the last time that the cops were literally outgunned.
Yeah, they did, like, radios were unsophisticated, reinforcements were miles away. At best, they had one backup reload for their revolver and whatever was in the shotgun in the trunk of the car at the time. And you could, Ben, at that time, you could, through the Sears catalog, buy whatever World War One surplus you could, including up to include like Browning automatic rifle. You can get a BAR.
I think you could get like Maxim machine guns.
Yes, you could, but you couldn't rob a bank with a Maxim machine.
Sure,
gun.
Yeah. True, oh, yeah. True.
Unless you're creative. Yeah. Unless you're, I think it's the notorious like Tommy gun, obviously.
Yeah, right. Which was, you know, I guess it was one of the first practical submachine guns
with a large magazine capacity too. Yeah. So you can give multiple, or yeah. not would give. You know, you only get a couple bursts with a 30-round magazine. With a 50 or 100-round magazine, it's a...
different issue, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess... So continuing with on-air Wikipedia prep, in 1942, responsibility for enforcing federal firearms was given to the ATU. The early 1950s, the IRS was formed. 1968 was the Gun Control Act.
That's when people started to... That's when the ATF became...
The ATF.
The F.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah.
The faggots, you mean.
Yeah, yeah. The faggots, yes. Yeah. that's probably when... I don't think since then they've ever recovered, like, reputationally. In right-wing
basically,
circles...
Basically, what is it, like, professional Fed-level snitchers is, I guess, the kind of...
Like, they started going around to gun shows and, like, fucking with people. Like, that became, like, the big job. And... People, no one likes this. Like, absolutely no one likes them. The left is ambivalent about them because they're unable to solve gun crime, right? Like, which is funny because, like, they occasionally fuck with right-wing people, but they also just never, ever solve anything. Like, they don't actually reduce gun crime, and they're pretty...
No, they go after... I mean, my understanding, which I guess is purely... But whatever, is that their big thing is going after people with a quarter of an inch too short of a barrel.
It's that kind of stuff. It's also the biggest thing that I've seen people who are like in the industry complain about is if you are someone who's authorized to, because you can get the authorization to deal in automatic weapons, and it's quite common actually. or not, it's not unheard of. It's not like a difficult. It's called an SOT or FFL. I think class 07 or 06. Oh wait, yeah, anyway. And but if you're one of those guys, and say you're at a gun show because your gun store is also allowed to do full autos, but you still have your retail business. If someone comes up to your store and just asks you an innocent question like, "Oh, like I have an AK-47 at home, or I have an M16 pattern rifle, or any kind of rifle," if you just ask them like talk shop wise, how would you go about converting that to full auto? In theory, you can lose. You can have all your shit fucked up, and like you can get, if you were asked.
Well, go to the step one. Go to Home Depot. Step two, purchase a rubber band.
Yeah, like that is at that point you are like violating your all kinds of. You can get thrown in jail for like as an authorized dealer, you know, giving somebody advice on how to convert their. Right, like it's very arcane. There's also
I think automatic triggers are considered rifles, and if the trigger is capable of select fire, that it's just the trigger is the. I don't actually know. It could be.
There's all kinds of things where like certain parts can be designated as machine guns. So in 68, what happened was that machine guns were officially like, or not 68. 68 was one of the control acts, but it wasn't actually the big deal one. The big deal was 86,
right, with 86. Under Reagan. That was the one that essentially.
Which is just there's a pattern with this stuff where you see conservatives. Well,
for people, I'm sure most of our audience knows, but for those who don't, that was when essentially the. For automatic fire weapons in particular, meaning anything that was even capable of like select fire is it can fire, press the trigger once, one bullet comes out, hold the trigger down, multiple bullets come out. If you press and hold the trigger and multiple bullets come out, that's automatic. And if a weapon had not been registered prior to 1986 and that act, it could no longer be manufactured or sold to civilians.
Yes.
Period. End of story.
Yeah.
Which had the, I mean, among other effects now, you know, weapons are automatic. It is in theory possible to acquire them, but yes. You know, it's several tens of thousands of
dollars. The cheapest ones are $13,000. Yeah. They used to be, they actually were cheaper for most of the history. They've been like, they kind of about like 3,000 used to be like what you would pay. But in the last 10 years, interest.
I think it's more like 30. I mean, 30, 40. I mean,
well, it's the cheapest ones. Like the cheapest ones used to be like you could even get a Sturmgewehr for pretty cheap for because of there were relatively
sure.
a lot of them for an automatic weapon.
Right.
And you get like things, but now it's like everything's like I think minimum like 13,000. Even like you know.
Yeah, so you're looking at four times the cost of a Gucci.
Yeah,
Gucci.
Really nice.
Like, yeah, just to have a beater for.
And the ATF is notoriously capricious. There's 922R, which is a.
Oh yeah, right. Yes, I think this came up on our previous show about gun culture, where that's the kind of like you can put. You have to have this number.
Only
of
so many foreign parts can be in a gun. You build yourself,
right?
So you in a gun that you build yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I ran into this. I was actually looking at some. There were some good New Year's deals that I didn't pull the trigger on because I'm not buying any more guns ever again. You know, it's too much of a thing.
Oh, I'm surprised. I would never own or operate or know anything about a firearm.
Yeah. So I think, culturally, one of the things the ATF that I think they stick out so much is because they've always been a very much a libtard organization, and you would think in the pattern of how regulators go in America traditionally. They tend to end up controlling the body regulating them. Like the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, is like run by the company. Like the electrical power regulators are run by electrical companies, notoriously. Pharmacy forever, but almost every industry, coal, oil, like all these things, because the patterns of regulator is like an executive at the firm, and then they become an expert and they go to head up that agency, or vice versa. Like, oh, I'm a. And there's this rolling door between them, and it ends
what
up.
What they call regulatory capture.
Yes, or isn't it Iron Triangle? Is the other word? That's the
I'm not sure. I know the Iron.
There's a lot of
bureaucracy.
Fancy.
Yeah, I know the forget the Iron Triangle. It doesn't really. But yes, in any case, the bottom line is that it's interesting, isn't it? I guess that the ATF is kind of an exception, right?
In all these categories,
yeah.
They fuck with alcohol producers, they fuck with tobacco, and they fuck with firearms because I think they're explicitly not regulatory; they're law enforcement.
Yeah,
that's an interesting thing is that like they're not a regulatory industry, body. Yeah. They're a law enforcement body, and because of that, they have law enforcement problems. You know, like they have. I mean, notoriously Waco, right? Like, trying to do law enforcement stuff and getting a bunch of, you know, a bunch of them fucking killed.
Ruby Ridge. And that was
FBI.
That was FBI. Okay.
Yeah. And then FBI was also Waco, but the ATF instigated, like, they took over. The FBI took over when, because, like, no one.
I think it was because they heard there were sawn off shotguns on premises, something like that, right?
No, the FBI was like, well, you shot at federal agents.
Okay.
Because they killed ATF agents.
Yes, that I know. Oh, maybe that was with the sawed off shotgun. I remember there was a sawed off shotgun in the story.
So that was Waco. Waco was shot off shotgun.
Okay.
Sorry, yes. not Waco. Sorry, Ruby Ridge.
Oh, that was Ruby Ridge.
Yes, Ruby Ridge.
Okay, all right.
Waco was.
These events are,
they're very, very similar. So. What was the name of the cult again?
David Koresh, Branch
Davidians. Yes, the Branch Davidians, and they loved firearms, and they had they had a lot of AR-15 pattern rifles, and they also had they sold guns and weapon accessories, much like the Moonies. They were well.
I didn't know the Moonies had.
Moonies are big in the gun stuff. Same way.
Interesting.
The Moonies are obsessed with guns.
Are what with guns?
Obsessed with guns.
Obsessed with guns.
They're like South Korean nationalists, and that because of that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That meant yes. Okay. Now I see the connection. I was like, I knew they were Korean, but I didn't quite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
So anyway, the Branch Davidians. One of the accessories they had was like those. Remember those novelty complaint department take one things. With a grenade, and you pull the pin. It's like, take one. And the ATF decided they were going to roll up on them and see if they were converting them into hand grenades. And they assumed they were. And also, I don't know if it's true or not, but the ATF had alleged that like people nearby had heard automatic gunfire from the compound, as if they had converted some of their AR-15s to full auto. But instead of arresting a Koresh or, you know, was out in town or whatever, or doing
literally anything
else. They did possibly the most evil way you could do a raid. Like, also, they had a warrant. They did have a warrant, but they just raided it in. So the first thing that the Branch Davidians saw was a bunch of armored trucks roll up. They see a bunch of people get out, and they had an off-site dog kennel off the compound, like outside of the walls. And so people go into the compound and shoot every single dog in the compound in their cages. Right? At that point,
you're like, okay,
I guess you're the government, but what the fuck?
It reminds me of, I think it was...
Which you can't, the meat,
Yeah.
You know how fucked up it is to shoot a dog in a cage?
It's just completely gratuitous.
Yeah.
So, but these days it doesn't infrequently happen. I saw a case, what was it? And granted, the guy was black and probably committed crimes, but seriously, so what? Four government goons... burst into his house in the middle. This was, I think, in Houston on video. You probably saw the video. I know many people in our audience did. Just burst into his house in the middle of the night. Dude wakes up. There's, rifle in his face from the doorway. Picks up his handgun and immediately shot dead. What are you supposed to think when goons bust in your house in the middle of the night? Or whenever.
And the ATF is notorious for this kind of stuff. And it's funny because they're also... I have somewhat of a conspiracy theory on this. ATF agents are considered bumbling retards because the
one that I've ever known was a bumbling retard.
Yeah. Who's that guy who got arrested for fucking shoplifting?
I actually don't know this one.
He was shoplifting wine from
Kroger. It was like putting the $10 label on the
$100 wine. Yeah.
And he did it over and over again to the point where
it's a felony, felony amount, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the Alliance of Trannies and Faggots.
Yeah. Alcoholics, Trannies, and Faggots. Yeah.
Perfect. Yes. Yeah. Alcoholics, Trannies, and Faggots. Yes.
But so the FBI, as I'm sure you know, there's laws about how you can portray the FBI on television.
Yes.
And the FBI basically has not final cut, but they have a say in your production. So if you want to have a bumbling federal agent in your TV show, the ATF has no such protections. And I bet the FBI encourages it. Because the FBI is as incompetent,
probably
retarded.
Probably worse. They're competent.
There's fewer blacks in the FBI.
Yeah.
The ATF has a DMV element to it.
But there's more cat ladies.
Yeah, but they're competent.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
There's competence on a raid,
Yeah, right.
Like
on that kind of stuff, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the ATF is like a most of it is DMV paperwork
FBI
pushing.
Trigger pullers are no joke. That's not what I'm... Yeah. If that's what you're talking about, then sure.
Yeah, and the FBI also has like a lot of people who aren't agents. They have a large non-agent staff that does... So the bureaucracy isn't handled by agents, whereas the ATF bureaucracy is the agents. It's or there are some, I'm sure, that are like IT guys or whatever, but the... So there's that. And also, I think the ATF is like somewhat... They just catch the heat for the FBI. Because the FBI has enjoyed a stellar reputation in film. And even the only movie I can think of where an ATF agent wasn't a good movie. Like, I'm sure there's a B movie with an ATF agent who's like, cool, whatever, that I don't know about.
I mean, maybe. I wouldn't bet on it.
There's a lot of B movies. Was Lord of War. But he's not an ATF agent.
I was going to say.
He's Interpol. Yeah. He's an ATF agent. But yeah. He's like second into Interpol. Like he's, right. They say he doesn't say ATF when he pulls up. He says
Interpol.
Yeah, which is also mean. They're not much of the
FBI. They're not a thing. Well, no,
they are like a. They're like the EU. They don't have an army. They don't have a navy.
Right. Like, that's what I was gonna say. They don't actually have. There's no like Interpol agent. Like if you see someone, you see occasionally like you know on catfishing or whatever. Like he said he was an Interpol agent. Like, well, that should have been your first clue. You know.
Well, like, what is Interpol agent? If when they do, they're going like they're like regulating like. Is this really champagne? Like you know, like we have to like they're having deep thoughts. Right. Like, is this you know?
Yeah, but they're exclusively a bureaucracy.
They do like information sharing between departments of certain countries, of which most countries aren't
signatories. Yeah,
I think it's just like the Schengen area. And then some other ones that like African countries that some other ones volunteer, but most the U.S. famously isn't right.
Yeah, I don't believe so. Yeah, well, they know they're not signatories to the Hague. I'd have to look that up, to be honest.
Well, the Interpol isn't the Hague. It's a different...
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, the U.S. Does not like international juridical structures because then they would, you know, all their gay ops and horrible war crimes
notoriously.
And so on. Yeah.
You know we're at war with the Hague, right?
Is that not a meme? I don't know.
No, we are at war with the Hague. There is a declaration of war passed that if any American serviceman or citizen is arrested by the Hague, a state of war immediately exists between the United States and the Hague.
Okay, so the U.S. is a... no, actually, I'm not... hang on.
Well, we're on... We have like...
We
have individual treaties with countries.
Yeah, so the U.S. is a... Yes, the U.S. is an Interpol, but yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you were saying, yes?
But so I think the FBI has pushed this meme of them being, that they are incompetent retarded, but like as like the scapegoat, because like Waco was like the ATF's fault, but the FBI did like all the murdering. Like people, the objection people have at Waco isn't that like there was a bumbling raid and some agents got killed, right? It was that you killed 70 people in a fire, you know? Like you, so that's in kind of popular culture, the ATF is like kind of like is the fall guy, and there are a lot of like shiniquas there. They do paper pushing. They just a lot of it. Like so, there's a reason that like regulatory capture is bad, obviously, because like regulators are being controlled by the industry. But the reason it's good is because you don't want like people who don't know the industry or actually hostile to an industry to be regulating it, right? Like obviously, there's a
Of course.
The conflicts are...
You don't want Greta Thunberg in charge of regulating your power grid.
Yeah, it's... Obviously. And law enforcement have a lot of, like, bad ideas. It's like law enforcement has a totally different outlook than a regulatory body does, where they're trying to, like... Not that regulators don't try to catch you, but law enforcement is, like, stinging you. Like, imagine if you were trying to sting a petroleum oil rig, right? Like, all right, bro, we're gonna, like...
Yeah.
I'm gonna allow these pipes to corrode one more season than without regalvanization. You know, like you can't like imagine it. And the ATF as federal agents have like broad powers, and they're constantly getting caught doing the most retarded shit imaginable. And a lot of it also is because I think their targets are, as you call it, Gentile industries. Like tobacco is famously a Gentile industry. Alcohol is. Big alcohol is not, but little alcohol and medium alcohol are Gentile industries, and that's who they fuck with, right?
Yes, it's all about, we're not going to manage Seagram's, what was the name of the Seagram's?
It's very Jewish, yeah.
Yeah, I forget her name, though. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but it's all extremely Jewish, but then we don't, we would never mess with them, but
medium and small are going to get...
If you're a brewer and your alcohol percentage by volume is off by like a tenth of a percent, you're... in violation. I mean, you have to have the label, and it has to be accurate within a tenth of a percent. And,
which is hard for a large batch, but unless you have certain amounts of,
Well, I mean, if you're brewing in a giant Budweiser factory, there's no problem, right?
Yeah, but if you're a medium-sized thing, you might have some variation.
Anyway, yeah, so it's... That's interesting. I hadn't never thought about it that way in terms of the regulation.
Is law enforcement not regulation?
Yeah.
And it's for Gentile industries, not Jewish ones, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you imagine, like, the, what is it, like, the SEC doing a sting on a Wall Street firm, right?
Well, they...
You should think they would be, right? You never hear about it.
They issue fines that are, like, a tiny percentage of operating profit and move on. Versus,
they don't seek out stuff, though. Like, the Wall Street Journal publishes something, or it gets out, right?
Yes.
Or the FBI even occasionally.
I don't think they were looking at Elizabeth Holmes until Wall Street Journal literally broke it was one particular reporter. I don't remember his name. But he was the guy who was doing the story.
I've considered doing an episode on that because how great
story
is. Sure,
yeah. And they're having, I think they either had or they will shortly have a movie based on her, and
I think she's getting like 6 months in jail, some retarded.
It's something retarded. I think it's a couple of years, but it's not for the amount of destruction that she caused.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which is also almost none. It's just she just stole money from rich people, right?
My favorite conspiracy theory about that one was
black budget CIA stuff.
Yeah,
because a lot of guys, because they got the, they got the,
they got
they
had,
won
like,
the
Matt,
they
Mattis
won,
was on the
they won
board.
The Department of Defense contract
the General Mattis was on the board and a bunch of, he wasn't the only one, there were a bunch of CIA.
No, they won the DOD contract and they just never delivered on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, interesting. We'll definitely have to do an episode on that. But it's funny, I guess. So who does regulate guns, or is it just kind of one of these things where it's like you don't get that kind of regulation?
What do you mean?
It's the ATF. Well, right, but yeah, I guess so. It's just with a heavier hand, like it's regulated.
Well, yeah, they're just hostile. They're law enforcement. Yeah. It's like and the ATF in theory is not. Doesn't have the power to create regulation. So the ATF doesn't have, because of the Second Amendment, only Congress can even touch this kind of.
Right, because it's federal.
Because it's federal. A federal right, right? But the ATF has just been given broad power to interpret laws recently, since Donald Trump, because the ATF, gun owners, obviously hate it, and they have the means to sue and, pretty vigorous assaults on, regulations. But the ATF under Republicans, is allowed to kind of get away with murder. Well, literally when it's Democrats, they get away with murder. But when it's Republicans, they get away with, like, regulatory murder. And this is kind of what I wanted to put inside the show, is that there's a whole fresh slew of regulations coming out. And one is, the one that did come out, is one on easily convertible receivers.
Easily convert. Oh, I yeah. Okay. All right. Yes. All right. Go on.
Which were formerly, which is the gun industry is always trying to fuck the ATF.
Right. They're doing the Talmudic thing right back.
Everyone
them,
is fighting. Yeah. Which is good. Like it's so hostility in an industry creates like hostility.
What is it called? Malicious compliance. Yes.
Yes. So the ATF, they did all firearm receivers, which is like the main body part of a firearm, usually is it's the regulated part. When you buy a gun, you're buying the receiver. The other parts are just legally scrap metal. Like the barrel of your AR-15, you don't need a background check. You can buy it and sell it. Like it's scrap metal, right?
Yeah.
It's not a control. It's not. There's no legal controls on like a barrel. And the receiver of two pistols are probably the biggest one. Two guns was the AR-15 and the Glocks and the Glock series. So the receiver of the AR-15 is that little bottom half. And at what point legally is a receiver, right? Because, like, it's just a machined piece of metal, right? You just mill out. It's just a metal block, and you mill out certain points.
Yeah, well, that's what I was getting at. Maybe it was a little too abstruse, but with the rubber band thing, I mean, this is, as I understand, again, I'm not, maybe I should just not run my mouth, but my understanding is you can, is it even legal for me to say? Like,
you're not a SFT, you're good.
Okay, yeah. So
unless you're an SFT.
From what I understand, you can literally put a rubber band between some point of the, maybe you have to do something additional to the receiver, I'm not sure, and some element of the trigger, and essentially create a very dirty ghetto automatic weapon.
Not in a AR-15.
Not in an AR-15.
The guns that can do that are generally, you can do like M14s, Mini-14s.
Yeah, you know
In
way
fact,
more about
legally,
this than that.
Under the 19... I don't know if it's the 6 day amnesty or the 86 act. There are people who register, because you had to register any part. You can register parts as machine guns if you wanted to. And so people before they've been opted in. Cause, and there was a guy who had an M14 with a shoelace put in one of the, and he was, it's on certain parts of the gun, on the trigger. It's on the trigger and the bolt, the
bolt carrier
group. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that shoelace is legally a machine gun.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah.
But so the Talmadry came in on the gun from the industry side, which is like, well, we have CNC machines, but we want to sell guns without, because when you make a gun, there's all kinds of taxes that hit it. There are, like, actually, it's not even bad. It's like Teddy Roosevelt era, like conservation stuff. Like conservation.
Conservation of what?
Like the wildlife. Like,
okay.
Like wildlife. There's any finished firearm told in the U.S. has like some.
Oh, I see. So that's what the money goes. Well, that's cool. Yeah.
But the gun industry wants to avoid these kinds of things. Also, just sales tax. Like, sure. So selling
I know there's like the NFA registration tax of which is the flat $200 that hasn't changed since the 1930s.
Yes.
Which I know that there is another kind of side note on this, or maybe we can just make a brief mention of, like, I know that's one of the avenues that leftoids are trying to pursue. Is like, well, in inflation adjusted dollars at the time, that was like $4,000.
Yeah.
So why don't we make it $4,000 now? Which, they could, I don't know about easily, but...
So money is one thing that you can't really interpret as an agency, right? It's like a dollar value.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, and the Congress didn't say inflation, they said a dollar value.
Right.
So you're kind of like, you're not going to win that.
But if they change that dollar value, is what I'm saying.
Like, that'll kind of, with an act of Congress,
yeah.
So, but what's the industry with these receivers is... you know, you can drill so many holes in it, mill away so many much material, but it's still not a firearm, because the old ruling was that basically it would take a person, I believe it was, with like a basic workshop, like a home workshop, would take more than a half an hour to finish it. And they also, you know, they had certain things about like... initially, you could sell with like the jig, which was like the plastic that lines up where you drill the holes and you just put it through.
Right.
And eventually, they said you had to sell those separately, because
It's
obvious that there's like a level of intent there.
It's a lot easier to.
And then it got fit with things. I think what pushed me over the edge was the Glock ones. So the AR-15 one is a milled aluminum or forged. It's usually milled. Right? Or there's a lot of ways that you can make a AR-15 lower, right? For all kinds of ways. I believe early, but the ones that 80% were milled. And it's a milled piece of steel. You put the jig over it, but you are drill pressing through steel to create holes. There's a certain level of skill. Like, you need to be of a certain level of skill. You have a drill press, which is a pretty expensive tool that most garages don't have. You can do it with a drill if you're real good and you're confident or on impact, I guess. But what really made the ATF flip out was people did these for Glocks. And a Glock receiver is not aluminum.
I mean, it's plastic, right?
It's plastic, right? Yeah. It's polymer.
Yeah.
So you can just...
Use your home, drill for drilling in your wall.
You could literally use one of those old school, like... what is it? Like, the thing was like...
The turn thing?
It requires zero level of skill. And, you know, almost no special equipment. So the ATF has finally decided that they have changed they've basically invented a new category, because what a receiver is pretty in law, like, it has to be able to, like, you know, it's the part the bullets go in. Really, the receiver means the part that accepts bullets.
Right. Okay. Sure.
And it physically can't, like, a unfinished receiver cannot receive bullets, right? So they basically created this new category of easily convertible receivers, which they're just going to regulate as firearms with all the stuff. And that's not a big deal. The biggest deal is the pistol brace thing that's happened.
Yeah, that, yes. And my understanding, that, from what I understand, the rule was up for debate over the summer of 2021 or something, or was it the comment period?
Yeah.
And then it came into effect in like December or something.
No, it's still not in effect.
It's still not in effect.
Still not in effect.
Okay, but it's going to be.
Yes, and I have some insider info on this.
Okay.
First, I want to get some background on what this is, because pistol brace
is kind of a weird
it's a weird phrase to use for it. And I believe it was the early 2010s. So first of all, back up. under ATF rulings, a pistol is a certain is a weapon of a certain overall length without a stock. And if you don't have a stock, so even so, imagine an AR-15 without a stock on it, right? That's in a short barrel. That's a pistol. To the ATF or AK using the AKs with no stock on, like the Russians use sometimes. That is a pistol to the ATF, right? It's got a barrel. It's got a no stock on it. Its barrel can be shorter than the minimum, the legal federal minimum is 16 inches without paying this extra tax of $200 and all kinds of finger being fingerprinted, all this stuff to get a short rifle. Short shotguns are very highly regulated.
A stock also is the part you put your face up on.
Yeah, it's the part your cheek hits, you know, your shoulder.
Or your
shoulder is the operative thing here, right? So in the early 2010s, or it might have been late 2000, whatever, there was this manufacturer that was basically counter-trolling the FBI. And they were saying, well, the law says it can't have a stock. Well, what if we design a product that is not a stock?
Now, as I recall...
Oh, I know. I'm going to go. There was this military army veteran who only had one arm, right? So he only fired pistols or...
Anything
one-armed, right? So he had this AR-15 patterned pistol. And he's like, well, I want to have a product that can be put on the back of my rifle that I can put a piece of Velcro on and strap that Velcro piece to my forearm to brace it as a brace. I'm bracing it against it is an arm brace. It's not a shoulder stock. And the ATF was like, I guess that's fine. And they had some special stuff for it initially. They said, hey, you have to put
They sent a letter, as I recall, to the manufacturers that were like, it's fine. We looked over the rules. We can't find a violation. But in order to stay compliant, these are the things you have to do.
And the big one was you had to have it shouldn't be shouldered or couldn't be advertised that way. And
or like primarily used in a shouldered position.
The biggest thing was that it needed the back buffer tube on an AR-15 where the stock mounts on a buffer tube in the back of an AR-15 pattern rifle. Had to use a different size, like a proprietary size that wasn't the same. So you couldn't just slap any stock on that tube. You couldn't put a conventional... The guns sold this way had to not fit a conventional stock. It could only fit these braces. So I couldn't buy this pistol brace rifle and just throw a stock on it. And the industry saw this, and they started cranking these things out. And obviously, you know, they got larger and larger and more like stocks. And then somebody, the ATF, was like, well, actually this rule where you have to have a proprietary tube on the end is actually not...
There's nothing in the
rules said, you know, a dog can't play football, so you know, you can make them to fit any standard rifle or AR-15 rifle. And
so now we're basically at short barrel rifle kits.
Basically short barrel rifles became legal if you bought these stocks for them. And these stocks got better. The earlier ones were kind of squishy and flabby.
Well, if you look at the pictures of the veteran who like this was the pop I mean this yeah. kind of okay, whatever degree of pretext, but you know, and if you ever fired, which I certainly never have or would, a rifle, or you know, one of these like larger size
pistols,
like it's got a lot of kickback. So I've heard, you know, in a recoil,
may induce one to see, perhaps for safety reasons, put his shoulder on it.
That's what I've heard from friends who've done this.
For safety reasons, sometimes you want to put your shoulder into it, as opposed to a Velcro strap on your forearm.
Which in the absence of which it would just be too big and unwieldy, and there's, you know, it'd be extremely hard to fire with one arm.
And the funny thing is that the ATF did allow themselves to get into this mess, but they also like have created precedent, if you will, right? Like there is an industry around these things. There are three or four companies that make these products, and you know, they're pretty good. There's distributors and gun stores and such and such. And they're sold more so than bump stocks. Bump stocks were big business, but these are huge business because...
Yeah.
It basically created something that
was... bump stocks don't really work. I mean, they work in the sense of... Like, they'll kind of do what they're advertised to do, but they're not practical from what I understand. Versus pistol grip stocks, non-stocks, whatever, are extremely practical.
Yes, they work very well. They've gotten larger and like comfier and more comparable to a factory stock, if you will. In fact, also they got more like aesthetic. They start off kind of goofy looking, and they've gotten more and more aesthetically pleasing.
Well, initially they were just essentially like a three skeleton ring of like Velcro, right, with like a thin
plastic. And there's like there's also like a lower there. You could tell what they were going for. They had like a soft pad came down in a kind of fishtail shape you put into your shoulder. And now, yes, they have CAC makes very cheap ones that are like basically just like it looks like a small stock. I believe it's SBA. The SB series are like basically stocks.
Yeah.
And because they've sold so many of these, like they've sold a ton, the ATF has, you know, been empowered by Joe Biden to basically just fuck with more gun owners. But because they've sold so many, it's literally like there's like a lot of moral hazard. Also, very popular with the blacks and Hispanics with the like these two, because they like the Dracos, like the small AKs that the rappers love, could be sold legally with these.
Mm.
Also, they are just smaller. If you are up to no good,
you want concealability.
You would prefer, perhaps prefer the smaller rifle.
So when I looked at these rules when they were initially up for comment, and it seemed kind of Byzantine and subjective, which is my understanding is a consensus. Like it has basically like a point. Or this is how it was. I don't know how it may have changed in the interim.
It's not been released yet what it's going to be.
Well, when it was initially proposed, and the proposal that I read had a point system.
Comparable to the assault weapons ban also had a point system.
I didn't know. I know there were like a certain elements, and I guess you got certain points
for a barrel shroud was a certain point, a bayonet lug.
That's the part that goes up, right?
A magazine over a certain size, an adjustable stock.
Yeah.
These things.
I see. Okay, well... So there's a point system based on primary. I mean, which like you can kind of get in a world that wasn't clown world, and assuming that you would want these kinds of things, you know, a certain amount of weapon regulation, I don't necessarily have a problem with in the abstract, in theory. Obviously, like, you know, existing in clown world under Jewish domination is a completely different story, but.
We need common
sense Cossack whip control. Yes.
Yeah. The bull whips are, you know.
But the thing is, like, you can understand, okay, well, if you want to say, like, there's the existing legal regime has created this situation where this one kind of thing is legal, but this other kind of thing that's very close to it is illegal.
You get this
right?
weird thing with the NRA and the NRA's pattern of activism where it is a thing that is currently legal to sell and purchase, right? Like, the commerce end of this is, like, pretty much covered.
Right.
And the ATF is, like... was like, oh, it's just for commerce, like we don't care, because like that's the one thing they fought. But now that it's they don't like, because you didn't like enshrine this in any kind of law or get any kind of court ruling, because everyone's happy in this kind of commerce, like, were this decision pushed by not business and pushed by like more like the GOA, more hardline and a right type group, if they would have pushed for a judge to rule this in their favor while it was still in their favor, right? Whereas now, because like it was kind of it was a business thing to sell these things.
No, they didn't care, and now
it's very similar to abortion, where they never made a law legalizing abortion federally, so the Supreme Court could just change their mind. Well, the ATF has just changed their mind. But so from my sources in the industry, they do say that there will be a amnesty period. So. If you own one of these products already, because they've sold so many of them, like to where it's, you will be allowed to for free
convert it to an SBR.
Convert to an SBR.
So what if you had? Okay, so but then could you put an actual stock on it?
Yes.
Okay, so buy all the in my. Yes. My I advise, the problem is not myself, but my friend.
I would. It is a ruling worth complying with. The problem is. SBRs, silencers, short barrel shotguns, and auto automatic rifles are under a higher level of scrutiny.
Sure.
If you cross state lines with them, there are certain regulations. Like, there's all kinds of, there are more and more Byzantine regulations.
Yeah, but you don't want to be, you want to comply with, I understand it sucks, and definitely there should be, and will be, I imagine, court challenges. And
So that's the good thing of this, is that this probably will get tied up in the courts.
Yeah.
The receiver thing is probably a little less, it's just a smaller thing.
It's harder. I mean,
also 80%, because of the nature of 80%, they're not tied into like gun distributors. Like you buy them from sketchy websites. A couple gun stores.
My friend Darth Mofo that I used to play Jedi Knight 2 with back in the day multiplayer would buy them. Not me. Not us. Yeah. Not anyone listening to this program, of course.
But because of that, they weren't like tied into the network of logistics and industry, and these pistol braces are.
But it's funny. Okay, so we have 80% lower. We've already just mentioned in the course of this, like 80% lowers pistol braces, bump stocks, and rubber bands. Like this is the part where I think at a kind of broader cultural, political level, have to step back and say, like, well, is this regime even really working or what? Well, obviously it isn't. But
so the ATF is designed to not stop gun violence by people who commit gun violence. It's designed to fuck with white people who own guns. Absolutely, explicitly. Very much. Like, so this regulation is not going to change really anything. I actually would almost recommend, I don't know. It's not legal advice, but if you are a person who is like very deeply concerned with complying with federal gun law and not so deeply concerned with like moving states, you know, you're pretty stable where you're at, it would make a certain amount of sense to have all of your rifles. Like you could slap this, you could buy one of these products, like $35 that fits on a standard rifle. Take your legal length rifle, remove the barrel, and then submit and affix on the receiver this brace in the amnesty period, take a picture, send it in, and get that lower receiver intubated to an SBR free for without paying $200, and you know, go about your day and have that register that as the SBR, you know, so that you can't, it's harder to fuck with you if you have that paperwork on it. Now if you fuck it up in some way or you cross state lines without saying, like, you just
took an SBR across state lines, that's not something you want to do. Without, like, I think
it's a paperwork thing. It's not also like not a hard thing to do. It's just a thing you got to remember. You know, if so, for instance, theoretically, like somebody like the Kenosha kid who got fucked by that, in theory, if he had like an because he crossed like that little book, he didn't break any law across it. You can cross that state line all you want,
right?
But
had it been an SBR,
he could have gotten fucked.
Yeah.
Like big, 5 years, I think, or 4 or 5 years, like.
Well, and again, that's the kind of thing where it's like, obviously, the ghetto blacks are never going to get prosecuted for this.
No, they don't.
But if you're
in
the audience for this, you know, they absolutely slam you.
They only get hit with like gun charges if it's they're tack-ons for them.
I see what you
they get.
Yeah. We don't want to scare
there
people.
There are a lot of blacks who are in jail for gun crimes that were just tacked on with like you got caught with a large amount of drugs.
You committed a murder with an illegal firearm.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the most common I've seen.
Well, the feds don't care about that. State crime. Okay. But like in terms of federal gun crimes, all white guys who fucked up on the paperwork. Or were lying. Right? Like that does happen. People are stupid about it.
Oh, maybe this is a good chance to transition. Here's another item you may have heard of. It'd be probably worth talking. I don't know how much you know, but I do remember a little about solvent traps.
Yeah.
Solvent traps. Right,
still legal. The ATF will just fuck with you.
Well, they fuck. They. From what I understand, they forced the guy. There was one main sketchy website, and the guy who operated that sketchy website was shaken down and handed over to them his full client. Like, if you purchased from that sketchy website,
but you're still Gucci.
Yeah. Well, you didn't do anything, right? You bought a solvent trap.
Well, also, as someone who academically looked at this before, it is totally legal to build your own firearms. And under the NFA, it's which is much arcane. A silencer is considered like a firearm. It's really in the same manner a firearm is. It has a serial number, all these things. You can buy a solvent trap. You can file with the ATF, pay your $200 fee, and say, I am intending to produce this silencer on my own.
Right. And you're golden. Yeah.
And then you're Gucci.
Yeah.
So like, even if it's not the 80% lower has probably gotten in somewhat more trouble because they're saying, this is a product to make into guns.
Yeah.
Where the solvent trap is...
It's literally 80% of a gun.
Yeah.
Like, literally, it says it in the name.
Yeah, yeah. but not 100% of a gun.
Right.
Which is their, you know... So, the theory actually was that they might actually lose their... The Supreme Court has declined to rule on most of these things, actually, because it is so arcane and retarded. there is a theory that somebody's going to, you know, they're going to debut like a brick of metal unfinished
zero,
steel. Yes,
a 0% lower.
Yeah, and see what the ATF does. Because you can throw it in a CNC machine, you know, right. And it'll...
Well, that's the other big part of this story, of course, is, you know, it's...
The invention of the CNC machine made this, you know...
It's so... I mean, yeah, and there's patterns all over the place, and they... Who was our spiritual compatriot that was probably murdered by the German...
Stark.
Stark,
he's
yes.
a Kurd, actually, which is funny.
Kurd, okay. I didn't know that.
A German Kurd.
Whatever, he gets a pass, that's fine.
Yeah. The 3D printing is... it is legal in the U.S. to manufacture... I think every state in the Union... Some have some weird arcane laws about it. Like, some, I think you have to put a serial number on it. But most are...
Federally, you don't need to put a serial
on
number...
On a homemade
firearm, which is one of the things they're trying to change.
Yeah. But also, it's almost impossible to change, because, like, there's so much jurisprudence on this, and, like, what is the right to bear arms implies the right to manufacture arms without a license.
And we sort of touched on this earlier, but it's also one of the things that it's one of the few things that Republicans in Congress have a spine on, because...
They have to. Because they're so... Yeah.
It's one of the only things, really. Maybe the single most...
I kind of now want to transition to, like, how they handle the blacks.
Okay, yeah, sure.
The ATF and the blacks go way back. The earliest regulation on firearms, I believe it was Richard Nixon and a couple of Republican governors. There was this phenomenon during the post-civil rights era of, red states with blue cities became a thing somehow, right?
Just,
as you do.
Like the tides, it just happened.
Tide goes in, the tide goes out, never, yeah.
Niggers come in, they stay, Anyway, go on.
Niggers come in, suburbs get built, the federal government didn't give a shit about black gun crime. They just didn't care. Still don't, really, obviously. But so these Republican governors tried melting point laws and Saturday night special laws. So Saturday night special laws created like minimum price floors for certain firearms, notably because you could create this like a bullshit, because you can create like a pop metal pistol as a factory for like $25 or in 70s money, that's like what, fucking $4 for these, like, I mean, they're pieces of shit, but still, if you're trying to murder somebody, like, right. it's you know. And so some states were arcane about it. It was basically just like blacks can't have guns, the law. And also, it's a great law because, like, if you're a high agency black, like, if you're like one of the good ones, you could just save up for the Smith & Wesson, Just get the Smith & Wesson, bro. Just why are you trying to buy the...
Yeah, the ghetto.
Whatever.
Tech 9.
And those laws are hilarious. Most of them are just, I think, minimum price. Some had a minimum melting points.
Oh, yes, I've seen that. Like,
they're still in force in, I think, Illinois and Michigan.
It can't be, like, literally the
zinc.
Shittiest...
The thing was people doing that, making guns out of zinc.
Oh, really?
I think it was mostly...
Wow.
Zinc... injection molding.
Oh man. So tin toys.
Yeah.
So like literally like would you buy like a wind up toy from the you buy for
well
a
thing
kid.
Is that they were most of them timbered in 22 or 32. Right, real sure. real soft shooting round. Like to where the actual parts wear
it probably still dent the receiver though at some point or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of them are also revolvers too.
Okay.
It's very hard to do these in semi auto. Even like Jimenez is still $70.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah.
A lot of them were revolvers or Derringers. Derringers were, I think, the big, or kind of a relic of this era, right? Mm-hmm. Derringers still exist as like a funny, cool cowboy thing, but like the height of the Derringer was the 20th century. You can buy it for $1. It fires two bullets, right?
That's all you need.
Yeah, and if you're beating the shit out of somebody and you just put it to their head, it is all you need. Yeah, like. Yeah. If it's 12 niggers beating the 13th nigger and shooting in the head, I guess this is functional. And the ATF has always been like just pants on head, like just drooling retards on ghetto crime. They are the only organization that can enforce what's called straw purchasing, which is when your grandmama or your baby mama goes to buy you a firearm for you. That is a federal crime. It's got like a 5-year minimum on it. They just don't enforce it for blacks.
For blacks.
Yeah. It's all, they put the onus on the gun store.
Yeah, my friend Darth Mofo, when he goes to gun stores, he's seen, it's like big, do not do this.
Yeah, please God. Everywhere. And they do give them, it's great, they give them like the discretion to refuse any sale. You cannot be hit for a civil rights charge for like, if you say like, if a black lady comes up trying to buy a gun, you're like, this is for your fucking boyfriend. Get the fuck out of here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
They, it's one of the things like they can't get you. Like, cause
what are you going to do?
The, cause they, you know, and you can get fucked as a dealer if you don't do due diligence. Someone says, oh, if someone says this is for my husband or my boyfriend or.
Then you're.
Yes. You have to decline the sale. And if you get the suspicion, a reasonable suspicion, like someone's on their phone with like talking to someone on the phone, like,
oh, you say you want with the 22?
Yeah, exactly. You get the Glock 40? Yeah. And the ATF just refuses. They don't sting these. They don't. They just let it roll. They don't give a shit. And that's probably the biggest thing. Like, you could probably solve gun crime in America if you
enforced gun laws against blacks. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine? Like, that's basically all that stop and frisk was yeah. Literally like, you're a nigger, therefore probable cause. Just let me pat you down. Yeah. Oh, here's an illegal firearm. Have fun spending the next 10 years in federal prison. Asshole.
Yeah. Well, state. New York state.
New York state. Thank you. Yes.
Because once again, federal.
Yeah, right again. Not a thing.
Didn't
yes,
give
yeah,
a fuck.
Yeah. Right.
In fact, the FBI and the Justice Department dismantled this policy. Like, the Justice Department.
Oh, that's racist.
Yeah. They worked very hard to push these states away from this kind of, these kinds of, you know, policies. And the newest variation of this is, have you heard of the Glock switch?
No. Oh, is that that's the rubber band for the Glock that makes it automatic?
It is not. It's, yes, it's comparable. It's comparable. Yes. It is a.
I know it's not a rubber band.
Yeah, but yeah, it's the rubber band, right? It's the. It is a. You know, a small mechanical. There's a part. The back plate of a Glock can be replaced with this other part, which is literally a switch, like a very actually for ghetto firearm. Well, they're actually not made in the ghetto, but like, but for I would say like
ghetto practical
third party. You know, like for third party manufacturing of a firearm, it can do semi-auto, full auto with just a click. Like it's very, it's
so it's like fire Glock.
Yeah, they're it's like fire Glocks, and. They're made in China because it's a very easy industrial machining process. And they're sold on Alibaba.
Oh, man.
I've seen them on fucking Facebook Marketplace.
Are they legally they're fire? Sold what as, are they legally?
They are sold as airsoft versions of Glock full auto converters. Right?
That's some Baudrillard shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, so if these are being sold as like converters, what is the, for air, but an airsoft version, what's the non-airsoft version? Like there's only ever.
So what's funny is Glock doesn't actually make a. If you got a true Glock full auto product, it doesn't use the system. It's got an internal thing, sure. Not this like.
Of course it would.
Tack on thing, right? Why would so they're literally. You are in theory buying this for your airsoft Glock, so you can LARP as a nigger gangster who does this to his own Glock.
Right. And, no, it makes perfect sense. I get it.
Yeah, and there's just footage of just like there's literally like it's just legal now. Yeah. In certain cities.
Well, I've seen the videos of them firing. They're like, the whole.
One in Chicago. I saw one that was scary from Shreveport, Louisiana, of a nigger who was good. Like, firing
he
in
was, like, actually,
controlled bursts of like, yeah, like, oh, fuck. Like,
this, the niggers are learning. And I don't think there's any danger of that, though.
Yeah, but like, it's not for me, but for, like, for the police. Like, yeah. Like, if the, you know.
No, but I mean, how scalable is like.
It's very, it's you change one part.
No, but what I mean is like, they, well, you think that they could be trained to select fire accurately?
I mean, if you can, so, okay, so using a rule I was taught by a DA I knew, they get caught for the 100th crime, right? They have committed 99, before we get them.
Yeah, they've committed 99.
They've committed 99. This was also, he told me this, he did not work in the current era. He worked in 2000s to 90s, so, you know, I'm sure the outlook is very different, but when the outlook was realistic, if he commits 99 shootings on his 100th shooting,
he'll be pretty accurate.
He'll be pretty, you know, like on the job training is the most effective, you know.
I see.
And and they're just, and they're, I've heard of like white guys getting busted with them and getting the 4 years in jail. I've literally never heard. Now, I'm sure there will be tack on charges as guys commit murders with them.
Right.
But like, because also it's like in line with the retreat of the police from, you know, day-to-day operations in black communities, you're never gonna see a there's also so many in circulation now, and they're
one,
easy blacks can't do it, but white people can 3D print these things,
right?
And they are literally, it's like Fent where the Chinese are just shipping it over. It's like, no, it's really is like the gun version of
Fent. They're technically mixing it in the Fent in Mexico.
Yeah, but the precursor, but the
precursors
yeah.
are all from China, yeah.
But like, and they similar come over, deal. Yeah. And like Alibaba, you can buy this show on Alibaba still. You know, it's really funny. And like, they have like, to the point of like, because they know the art market, they have like their own, one in gold, you can get one in red, and like in cobalt silver, you know, like it's, and there's blacks on, you know, Instagram Live, like, oh, this is me, I have my, like, things that a white guy could never do, which is like, this is me, here's my Glock switch.
Yeah, right.
And
here's the serial number.
Yeah.
I think I remember one case, but he had a bunch of drugs and other stuff, and I think they were trying, I'd have to look, I don't, half-remembered stuff is the worst, but of a black who had a bunch of these, like thousands of them or something, just
yeah,
because
you can buy them by the bag.
Yeah.
They're, so it's like all things with China. There are like sub retailers that are Chinese or even American that are like drop shipping, like, you know, one for $40. But I think if you can find the factory that gives them, you can order them for like $4 a piece by the kilo, you know, by the kilogram, yeah. You know.
Yeah. So what do you do? I mean, I again, but maybe
you just like do the, you just enforce, you just put them in jail for like, oh, if you get caught with a Glock switch. So blacks in certain parts, states in the country, in the South that I know about, are scared of fentanyl, not because of its issues, because certain states, usually less in more rural areas, they'll just go hog wild on you. They'll give you 99 years. They'll give you attempt murder or threaten you attempted murder. So you sign for, like, they'll give you hard, like natural, not your whole life, but like cartoonish. There are fentanyl convictions that will get cartoonish numbers of years that you can never, so you can never get out of jail. And blacks are like kind of in certain areas where, you know, that's happening, are getting more aware. They do respond to like federal law enforcement or law enforcement priorities, state or federal. They will respond. And, but the ATF would have to start putting some high profile ones away who aren't murderers too. Like, they know what they get caught for, you know? If somebody gets caught for murder and they throw a gun charge at him too.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. The blacks, he killed somebody. Yeah, he's getting 20 years. He killed somebody.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But if you just grab somebody and give him 10 years on the switch, like you would for a white guy.
Sure, but I guess I have a more kind of metapolitical question, I guess, over like what, in an age of CNC machines, internet, you know, broadband distributed plans for CNC machines, you know, blocks of aluminum crossing major oceans.
Yeah.
In a matter of days, you know, or a couple weeks, but you know, yeah. But available at your house within 24 to 48 hours. Like, I don't know. I mean, it seems it's how do you regulate as a politician? How do you regulate that, or do you even try? I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I'm making sense.
I mean, no, I think you just like, you just increase the costs for breaking it, like any other regulation, mm-hmm. right? Like, these things aren't 100%. Like, there are people who make their own machine guns or silencers. Sure. I know guys who aren't white nationalists, who are like libertarians, who are like, oh yeah, I make silencers in my garage all the time, and why would I shoot out a silencer? I'll go deaf. But also, they live in like a rural area, sure. And they're not political, so like...
Yeah, why would anyone...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you gotta impose costs. If you want to stop at something, you should impose costs. And obviously, they're refusing to... Imposing costs.
Well, the blacks are the cost that they impose on us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know,
like that's how they look at it.
I'm getting increasingly edgy viewpoints of like the police, that like the police actually exist to enable crime in the United States.
At this point, I you know, or at least enable crime against politically disfavored groups.
You know, they keep crime
at the level that they want it, so they can put it where they want.
Like, I don't know. Like, I think they literally defend criminals. Okay. Like the police existing is in the interest of the criminal community.
Say more.
In the United States. Because the punishments are light.
Mm.
Like the yoke is easy, and the burden is light. Like, if you're a criminal and you get arrested, you just get kind of a very historically, like, almost hilariously short amount of time. Like, so traditionally, like, if you rob, like, a store, like a corner store, right? You could, like, armed robbery... Maybe attempted murder, battery, all this stuff, illegal firearm. You could be doing like 25 years. You hurt somebody, right? And that was because you got that time because, like, it was life or death. Like, the shop owner could just shoot you dead and no one would give a fuck. So now under the current system, the shop owner, if he shoots you dead, will get a murder charge, right? And if you
get away,
it's just as bad. And even if you get away and get, or get like, you do like maybe three years tops on sticking up a store and you punch somebody, you know, like, or pistol whip somebody. And we don't do it. I mean, for sex crimes, it's even worse. Like, sex crimes have very, very short, very, almost no penalty in the U.S. These are things that, like, the community, under, like, community justice would be inflicting.
Right, right.
Profoundly yeah, deeper.
Yeah. So where we have, you exercise the Leo Frank option.
Yeah, like, you would profoundly.
As a society.
Profoundly together, more, yeah. Under a certain kind of, we'll call it Saxon jurisprudence. under Saxon jurisprudence, you know, these things are solvable. And but so the police exist to prevent you going back to the old ways and ensuring they ensure light, you know, sentences and light, like, they are the system to stop vigilantes.
I mean, they are the system enforcers. They're the, I yeah, mean, the, you know, most
but I'm saying, like, at the current system incentives, they are
like whatever an individual cop thinks or cares about, which mostly is just their pension.
Yeah,
like, well, also, they're doing,
you think of what,
right?
Think of what is punished harshly relative to, like, what the average person, like, for someone to say speeding, people are like, well, you shouldn't speed, but, like, the penalties for speeding can be like $600 in certain right, states, or
you'd yeah, be ruinous, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely retarded, and everyone knows this, and, like, well, this is actually disproportionate, like, so why is this behavior, like, so disproportionately punished? And also the racial issue with speed, like, speeding as Steve Saylor has notably covered, inspection stickers, all that bullshit, all the bullshit, like, revenue stuff, is just white people, like, white people are.
Well, he actually, Steve Saylor has, I mean, the, you know, he's whatever else you want to say about him. I have my criticisms, especially yeah, recently. You know, he does funny graphs, and he did a funny graph of basically
traffic accidents
exactly,
and fatalities,
and for blacks, basically they're not getting pulled over, and so they're killing themselves and others at a measurably much higher rate.
Yeah, a comparable uptick to the murder rate,
which makes sense. It's like a broken windows theory, which has been totally vindicated. Libtards used to, I mean, for decades have been making fun of broken windows theory, but it makes intuitive sense and is again demonstrably correct. Like, yeah, if you pull someone over for speeding or having a busted taillight or their brake pads are expired or whatever, like, then, you know, chances are, like, you know, some okay, maybe most of them are just, that's the only thing, but you're going to have a, within that population, there's going to be a much higher proportion of people with, you know, drugs, weapons, whatever.
Which is, funnily enough, I think it's not actually broken windows theory. Broken windows theory is much more idealistic. That's what it became, like, in practice, and that works. The theory was that, like,
oh, if you see the,
if you punish vandals and stop vandalism, like, the community won't be as shitty.
So there won't be as many vandals.
As much crime at all. Because, like, if a liquor store isn't all, like, boarded up, I'm not going to rob it because it's, like, a nice liquor store in my community. Which is very idealistic and nice, you know.
I think you're also more. I mean, I think
compared to
you're more likely to break into a building with a couple broken windows.
Absolutely, no, it's true,
like, it's just
kind
of obvious. Yeah,
but in practice, it was like there's about 5% of a certain population that needs to go. If we just throw them all in jail for 10 to 25 years,
Ock Nation says, right? It's just like let the Sun people chill for from their, like, you know, late teens to early 30s or something. You know, sometimes they just need a little period to mellow out.
Yeah, and it. It's wild, you know. And they do mellow out. Prisons are relatively safe in America. The cosmic libtard fantasy of prison rape for my opponents is, like, actually not a true thing. It happens, but, like, not.
I know there are certain places. I know, like, Rikers, for example, is a total shit show.
Yeah, but they're not, like, it's just, like, bad conditions. Like, the conditions are bad. Like, food is bad. They have no heat. But, like they're not like rape
factories.
Yeah, there's actually pretty good, it's been pretty controlled. The problem now is prostitution, which is different but not as bad. Nowhere nearly as as bad. Also, like, if you're doing life in jail, like, do you really, okay, whatever, I guess you can be gay. Like, he's doing life in jail, like,
yeah, I suppose.
Kind of gets in the inhumanity of what life in jail, like, life in prison is,
well,
kind
you
of
just execute. Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it's
inherently life in jail is inhumane for all kind of reasons.
I would say it's certainly less humane than just an execution.
Yeah. We had this talk that you missed with the boys. I was arguing a firing squad is more humane and just than a hanging, because there's, like, a little abstraction of hanging where, oh, gravity killed the guy, whatever. Instead of where, like,
no, I shot a bullet.
No, the power of the state made five guys shoot him in the chest. It's inherently more just and, like, visible. Like, it's more real than, like, because also hanging is more of a not that the firing cut isn't a spectacle, but hanging is like truly like a spectacle. Like you have a crowd, and and then gravity kills the guy. It's it's kind of cucked, you know.
Versus I shot a bullet.
Yeah, the power of the state had these five.
The Virgin Gallows versus the Chad brick wall.
Yeah. That was, and I believe all of the, they didn't ever give it to him. I think most of the German, Japanese and the German guys at Nuremberg all demanded firing squad. They didn't get it because it was too, they wanted to make it not more abstract, right?
They wanted to make it a
justice killed, killed them, not like.
I think it's also they wanted to make it like a criminal thing, not a military thing.
Yeah, but it, you know, objectively was a
right.
Yeah.
We don't need
to the point.
We could do a near. I mean, you know, there's obviously.
Like, you're like, hanging is kind of inherently absurd, right?
Yes.
I mean, I understand the thing where it's like, you know,
it's like cowboys. I mean, it makes that you can see, like, yeah, you know, maybe this is
the bullets are expensive. We have to do this as an option, right?
Yeah.
Well, because it really is like a in its origins are like in kind of like humiliation ritual where they would hang you and then not.
You'd stay up for days, right?
Well, no, but they like you wouldn't die, and they cut you out, like the drawn and quartering thing, where they hang you for like a 15 minutes, you don't die, and then they cut you into four pieces. Like that's like, you know, get to British like torture shit, but it's very medieval. But it wasn't like a hanging until you were dead was like a later like a humane version of that, right?
Right.
But it was kind of never injustice. It was more of like it was in humiliation. Like my great grandfather, a witness to hanging.
Oof.
A public hanging. I think it was in the 19... I'm trying to remember what it was. It was in the 1900s or the 1920s. Because you could still... I think it was in... It was after... I think it was post-World War I, actually. He was in, like, I think South Carolina. And it was a public... Or maybe, I'm trying to
remember. Was it like a state execution?
Yes, like a state execution. But it was like a day. Like everyone's going to the.
We're going to go. Hey, like, Mary, get the kids.
Yeah, it's like going to, you know, the a music festival. It's like, oh, they're hanging a guy, you know, I guess.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. If there were a public hanging in the current year, I'd probably want to attend. I'd probably want to. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'd go to like a lot, but I don't know how many there were then either. So
yeah, probably not
that many.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if there was like racial crowd issues, like, oh, it's another black guy. I'm not going, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, it's another black guy. Like, I'm not going to that. Like,
I've seen this already.
Yeah. You know, you know, like, oh, they're hanging a Chinaman. It's like, everybody shows up, you know?
Oh man.
That'd be a fun, ethnographic study. You just can't do like, there's no way you could pull that off. Like relative attendance by racial demographic for hangings. And
that's fucking funny.
And you need some really long title to make it understanding. That's academic title.
So did we have more on the ATF or did we?
I think we kind of exhausted it. I gave my advice. I gave my conspiracy theory that it's there.
My advice is definitely follow absolutely every law to the letter at all times.
Yeah.
Like yes, it's true. They're not going to like, if you purchase a solvent trap for home use because you like to use a solvent trap when you're using your solvent, like that's fine. But, you know,
if I was getting a solvent trap to do solvent trap stuff, I would just to be safe, register it as a silencer.
Yeah, that's also true. Even if you, exactly.
Yeah, just cover your ass.
Yeah, but they're not gonna just because you like purchased a product from a website that's a totally legitimate business doesn't mean that they're gonna bust down your door. Yeah. But if you get arrested for stickering,
yeah,
and even if the charge
it's different for us, yeah,
it's the thing. Even if the stickering charge doesn't stick. An SBR charge absolutely will, right? So, you know, and then when they raid your house, that you know, they raid your house.
Yeah.
So, that's I think the just all there is to say about that.
If you purchase a Glock in a private sale and you notice on the back of it is this funny looking button kind of switch deal, don't touch it physically. Just walk away. Yeah. And that's one of the things I wanted to bring up. The ATF is also. Because they're so evil, they do just like seize all your shit whenever they investigate you, like pro forma.
Yeah, it kind of costs like a lot of money to get it back. Even just if it's your own property.
Yeah, like, they will just take every gun like you own. I was actually watching a case. It was actually this guy was fucking Asian or Hispanic or something. Like that. He was like in the Navy, and he was going to a private sale, and the guy got it was a private sale outside of a gun store. They were going to do some kind of private sale. And the Navy guy was one of the guys in the Army, which I'm sure if you served, you know these guys who just like, I've been in the Army 18 years. I was never married. Therefore, I own like a bunch of guns. And I also can't buy a house because of move around so much or on a fucking ship. And they got a
kick-ass gun collection.
A kick-ass gun and a Ford Raptor, you know, a Raptor, you know, some dope, cool, real cool truck, right? And he was going, met the guy, was talking to him. The guy got cold feet, smelled a rat, said something was weird about like this or got a feeling and just skedaddled. And maybe the guy was a snitch. It's hard to know because court case is kind of still new. But the ATF just rolls up on him and said, oh, you were trying to buy XYZ from him. Which is like totally horseshit. He was trying to buy illegal, I think it was like magazines. But the guy apparently had like owned other stuff and ATF said they were speaking code, like saying he was buying magazines, was saying he was like going to buy this illegal thing. But, which is horseshit, he's going to beat the case. But he had his truck, because he's in the Navy, with like, you know, $30,000 worth of stuff in it. And ATF just took it all.
Man, I mean...
Like, totally just, unrelated to the crime. Like, it's legal. It's otherwise legal. And this is when you get the thing with when I say maybe if you want to uber comply, try to register even rifles as SBRs, because he had some of these pistols with the braces. He also had some rifles with stocks in his car. All this
and they're
legal.
Like, oh, you could just switch
and
it out.
He maintains that the ATF, because he apparently had
so they switched it around.
He said,
because that's an easy thing to do. Yeah. You just need a punch and a. Yeah. I mean, sorry, my friend Darth Mofo, who.
Yeah.
I used to play Jedi Knight 2 multiplayer with.
Yeah. It is funny that we're doing this. If we were libertarians, we'd get more in depth on like the gun stuff. We have to like pretend to be ignorant of certain mechanical things.
But anyway, yeah. So that's oh man. Would you put it past them? I mean, you know.
No, obviously they do that stuff. Yeah. Apparently, what saved his ass is they were really nice Gucci guns. They were like taking pictures with them, in their configuration they were arrested in. And he like subpoenaed those and like, hey, well,
there you go.
Why is your guy holding it on my truck?
Right.
In the legal configuration, and now you have changed. Like they're real dirtbags, and they're trying to fuck you.
Yeah. So don't give him anything to fuck you with.
And the thing is also, because there is a kind of regulator relationship. Like the regulators, the distributors treat them as regulators, so they give them whatever they ask for. The ATF asks a gun store for something, they just get it. Even if they aren't legally required to provide it. It's similar to how certain like social media companies will get like the FBI letter, which has
right,
the legal
right,
force.
Right.
And but they'll comply like, anyway.
Yeah.
The ATF has a comparable system where they're like, hey, here's this guy's name. What can you give? Please help us out. Yeah. And they'll give them everything with your name on it.
Right.
The point where I know, like, the ATF actually doesn't have a system of arcane laws, a computer system that can like digitize records or a searchable database. It all was like,
I think they're prohibited by law
from having a searchable database. Yeah. But they can just ask that of the. So there's theories that's probably true. They have simply just asked gun stores to give them records freely, which they can digitize however they like. Because if the gun store freely gives you this information, it's you can then digitize it and make it searchable. So they've probably asked nicely for a lot of gun, like large gun shops that they have there's a de facto database. And there have been guys who have gotten like interviewed or arrested, have made videos on it because they're all libertarians and they just talk about it. Well, yeah, they had like all the guns ever bought. And they asked me every single one, like to fuck with them.
Yeah.
Because they're dirtbags. And that's, you know, what they do. So yeah, no, they're real bad. They're bad news. Also alcohol, I want to cover alcohol briefly.
Oh, sure, yeah.
If you do buy a still, you better buy a fucking ethanol producing permit, which is like, it's like $20 to make like ethanol for your car. Because a still is as bad as a fucking SBR. Like they can get your ass. If you don't, it's harder, but like if you're a white nationalist, you want to make your own moonshine.
Yeah.
I do make my own alcohol, but I do not distill it. I do
fermentation.
For wine, beer.
Yeah.
Only fermentation. No, I don't, it's just, I'm just not going to risk it.
That's like one of the oldest red pills, I think, the Whiskey Rebellion, which was essentially over this issue, as I understand it, of, you know, the federal government charging a tax to distill alcohol. And that is like right at the beginning of the history of the United States and has never gone away.
Also, about regulation stuff, it was only enforced probably against small or bigger ones who should comply. George Washington, if you ever go to Mount Vernon, which I have, is a large distillery on the premises, and it was been actually totally reconstructed. This distillery, it's a large distillery for rum. Corn
rum. Corn alcohol is whiskey. I don't know.
No,
it doesn't really. I mean, I guess it depends on the...
It's clear. Maybe it's clear whiskey. It's clear.
Sure.
Like, well, maybe it is clear whiskey, but it's like very high proof. It's like, it's fucking... it's moonshine, yeah, for fuck's sake. You know, like I don't know why we're... Yeah. But...
But it was George Washington's moonshine, and these little small time home distillers were not going to be allowed. They would have to purchase if they want, or they could pay him, right, just to make their own.
Yes, they could, or they get currency like to acquire. You know, I get mad when I think about I get all Whiskey Rebellion, like, you know, how poorly American. That's kind of another stereotype is how badly they treated, like, the veterans, right? Like
from the Continental Army to Bonus Army, and just the whole I don't know that it's and Vietnam, of course, and then
tobacco, they just,
I don't think they give a shit
anymore. I
never heard of anyone getting like
there's no small busted tobacco.
Yeah, right, it's all Philip Morris and like a handful of other giant conglomerates,
and then some I guess like the it's all importers and stuff. It's like existing. I know the margins are small.
I'm sure they are.
But that's just because...
Yeah, there's no small tobacco. I guess if you, like, did your own... If someone were to start, like, a tobacco farm just made small artisanal things, they would probably get fucked with. But
I know that there's boutique, like, pipe tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like they get fucked with.
I don't know.
I do know that they... Much like, so like the way porn has bullshit 18 plus 21 plus verification on websites.
Oh yeah, right. Okay.
Tobacco online sales have extremely tough. Like, send me a picture of both sides of your ID and like a picture of your face, without the like of, you know.
Interesting.
Like, so they do have that, but most of them just comply with that. It's relatively
easy. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that probably just about does it for today. We do have other stuff we'll be getting to. But as always, thanks for listening and take care, everybody.
I'm an